Hello, this is my Lenten diary for March the 8th, 2020. Today is the second Sunday in Lent. This is a reading from the 6th chapter of Romans. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. One of the interesting pieces about the daily office is that there is a sequential reading in the daily office on the weekdays, Monday through Saturday, and then the daily office often takes a more thematic turn on Sundays. So we will return tomorrow in our reading of 1 Corinthians. But today, in this thematic way of the daily office, we have this wonderful passage from Paul's letter to the Romans where he is reflecting upon baptism. And we might think, why are we reading about baptism in Lent? Well, it might be interesting for you to think about the fact that for a large part of the history of the Western Church, Lent was a time where people were prepared for baptism. When we had adult converts to the faith, this 40-day period leading up to the great vigil of Easter was used to catechize, to teach those adults who were about to come to the Christian faith, who are going to be converted and going to be baptized at the great vigil of Easter. This was the season that they were taught and prepared. So it is not as contraindicated, so to speak, to think about the joy of baptism in what is often seen as the somber season of Lent. I think that this imagery that Paul uses in Romans is some of the most intricate and richly woven imagery about baptism in the New Testament. Paul theologizes about baptism being a burial with Christ. As we go, if not literally, at least metaphorically, as we go under the water, it's a parallel of going under the ground in burial. And when we come up as a new person in Christ, as a new Christian, it's like being resurrected to a new way of being. Most of us who have been baptized as infants don't have that experience. We don't recall our baptisms. We hear a lot of baptismal imagery, but we really don't connect with it at an emotional level because it happened so long ago beyond the reach of our memory. I'm one of the exceptions to that because I was a part of a church that practiced believers' baptism and indeed practiced baptism by immersion. So I was literally put under the water, and while the preacher would have never admitted to it as a teenager, I felt like he held us there for a bit so that we were perhaps really becoming desperate for a breath of air. So when we came up out of the water, we were indeed gasping, just a little bit like an infant gasps when it comes into the world and has to be coaxed into taking its first breath. What does it mean to walk in newness of life? What does it mean to await resurrection? What does it mean to be people who have been, in the words of today's gospel at the Eucharist, born again through water and the Spirit? I hope at least one piece of what it means is that we begin to look at our world and our lives through a different set of eyes. I talked a little bit about this in the sermon today, that I'm becoming increasingly concerned that we look at the world through angry eyes and through indignant eyes and through hateful eyes and through condemnatory eyes. And certainly there is much in the world to hate and much in the world to condemn and much in the world to be angry about. I'm not suggesting that Christians look at the world through the rose-colored glasses of eternal Pollyanna optimism. But I am becoming increasingly concerned that we behave as people who have no hope, that somehow we think it's all up to us to rectify all that is wrong in the world. There is much work for us to do. There are many places that need the healing touch of Christ. There are many people who need to hear the good news of Jesus. And we have been charged to give that good news. My suggestion is that we find more creative ways to give it as opposed to simply becoming more shrill, more loud, more indignant. It seems to me that those of us who have been raised to a newness of life would have a different way of communicating the good news. I don't know if any of this makes any sense. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just the one who is out of step these days. But I'm becoming more and more concerned with how we give good news to the world. The world doesn't need another group of people telling how it's going to hell. Many people already feel like they're living in hell. What the world needs is, as our presiding bishop says, the liberating, life-giving word of a loving God. And I don't think that's just evangelical alliteration that sounds good in a sermon and looks good on a billboard. I think that is a message that the world is hungry for. People in our world already know that things are amiss, that things need to be set right. People already know that. And we have a message to share that through God's gift of God's own self in the person of Jesus, the Son of God, the good news has been shared. We have this opportunity to walk in newness of life because, as our gospel reading this morning said, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son to the end that all who believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We have been buried with Christ in baptism, and we have been raised in newness of life. Our opportunity is to walk in that newness of life, to proclaim God's love in spite of the world, and to proclaim that there is a way forward out of sin and death, and that way is Jesus. Let us pray. O God, whose glory is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, forever and ever. Amen.